See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. See you later, alligator.
Wendy, you know me. I don't spread panic. That's not what I do.
No,
a lot
that's
of guys, you spread. You are a spreader of panic. I don't do that. That said, don't go outside because the streets are teeming with alligators.
They're
you can't cross
cute.
The street in this town, Wendy, without an alligator chomping on you.
Chomp.
That's a recreation of the noise you will hear if you try to cross the street in Chicago right now. They're everywhere.
I don't get how this alligator can be living there. I thought
in Humboldt Park. I mean, because of
the prices.
The prices are outrageous.
Rent sky high.
Well, since the 606 went in,
right,
it's totally gone up.
You'd have to have three jobs. If you're an alligator, you got to work three jobs just to afford a moderately sized house in Humboldt Park right now.
Probably giving up some skin for a purse.
Right. Right.
Forgive me for not knowing this, but I didn't think they could live in fresh water.
I think they only live in fresh water.
Is it?
Isn't that the difference between an alligator and a crocodile?
Maybe,
is one can
yeah.
live in fresh water, the other in salt water, I
well,
think.
Well, it's not a swamp.
I don't think that lagoon is very fresh.
No, it's not.
That's
very,
a good point.
Very, very good point. I like that they have called in a guy. Now, I'm not making fun of this guy. I have nothing but respect for this guy. But a man referred to as Alligator Bob is on the case. And here's what I was thinking. How do you earn a living in Chicago if you're Alligator Bob? There's not that many alligator-related things happening in and around Chicago. When they do, that's the guy to go to. You go straight to Alligator Bob. But on an average day, I think Alligator Bob just sits in an office and stares at the phone going, come on, please ring, please
I
ring.
I think he's a former Brookfield Zoo employee, if
Is he
I
really?
Remember correctly.
Oh.
I need to find that
Did
out.
Did you work with Alligator Bob?
Somebody posted something on the Brookfield Zoo Facebook page about a gator being in the lagoon.
Yeah.
And somebody said that he used to work at Brookfield Zoo, but I don't think in the reptile house.
He became Alligator Bob post days working at the zoo.
I think he became Alligator Bob 2 days ago. I don't think he was that before.
No, because a couple of years ago when we had a similar thing where there was an alligator, or there may have been two last time, they also went to Alligator Bob.
Well, where's Turtle Bob taking care of the turtles who's eating the food that alligator is supposed to get?
That's the food chain that we need to figure out fast, because the city's in shambles thanks to the alligators.
I did like Steve Grzanich's warning, though, about keep your kids away from the lagoon and small dogs.
Solid warning.
I'm telling you.
Come on.
The
gator hasn't eaten anybody yet.
Not yet.
I mean,
because they're feeding it.
It's 10:12. You want to do a chump pool? Like when the first pedestrian will get eaten by this alligator?
No one's going to get eaten.
I mean, there are thousands and thousands of alligators in this country.
Yes.
Not in the lagoon.
But we hear whenever one eats a person, we hear about it. When's the last time you heard about it?
Well, this one's all by himself. He's got nothing else to do. He may as well eat somebody.
Well, what else does he eat?
Triscuits.
Besides small dogs and people. I mean, they must eat some.
Rats. Why doesn't he just walk around and eat some of the rats?
There you go.
Eat
Bring
rats.
Him the rats.
They have a little kitchenette with a crock pot.
Crock pot. Steve, you're the best.
Yeah. You're the best.
I tried to get Alligator Bob on, Wendy, and the closest I could get was Panda Bear Randy. He says he's available at 11:10 if we want to talk to him, but I said no. I don't think we need to talk.
I'll try and find out more about Alligator Bob, just to find out more about him.
I just don't know. And again, I'm not making fun of him. Why would I?
No, I know you're not.
I just can't imagine, like, if your thing is alligators, this probably wouldn't be the city to live in, because you're not going to encounter that many.
Actually, they're calling Donald Trump in because he's already drained the swamp. Okay, I'll stop now.
Which Zanies are you at this upcoming weekend?
We just had a long talk in the newsroom yesterday about bad puns, too.
Right. You had to get one more out.
That's it, and I'm done.
You're finished.
It's over.
That's fine.
Were you the example every time?
Not every time.
So the first person who saw this, did they just do that thing where then you see this on Three Stooges movies, where they just wipe their eyes? Like, I know I didn't just see an alligator here. They don't have them here.
Shake your head until your cheeks shake. Right.
Right. It can't be an alligator. They don't have them here. Except they do.
I hate to bust your bubble,
but
I think Alligator Bob
Is not his real name?
Well,
do you think he changed it?
Come on.
He used to be Bob the Bee Man because he handled the hive at the children's zoo at Brookfield Zoo.
Well, that makes him qualified.
So he, at some point, he changed his expertise from bees.
Well, if you're at the zoo, you know, you can get your
right
expertise in many a,
right,
an animal.
You go with the hot hand. Don't you? What's in the news this week? Well, there's an alligator in Humboldt Park. Oh, good, because I'm Alligator Bob.
I'm going to train to work with the elephants.
Yes.
Because they'll never get rid of the elephants.
No, until they do.
All right, we're going to track Alligator Bob down by the end of the show.
I want so badly to talk to him and find out what he knows about this.
All right.
I can't wait.
All Jasmine right. is on vacation. Kasera, I'm sending you an email. And track him down.
And I just sent you a telegram. You should get it in 3 or 4 business days. So be ready. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show coming. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. If you're still getting radio reception, good for you. The city has been brought to its knees. Alligators everywhere.
It's gator country.
It's become gator country.
Chomp. Ryan Burrow has some breaking news.
Hi, Ryan.
Humboldt Park Gator has his own Twitter handle.
Is that true?
He is tweeting. We assume it's a he.
Yeah.
Some pretty good things, giving shout-outs to some Chicago area companies, hoping maybe to get some free pizza out of the deal, as we all do every single day.
Do alligators eat pizza?
We're going to find out.
I think the thin crust. I don't think they do the deep dish.
I think
the
Alligator
stuff.
Bob's testing everything out as possible.
See what's right,
you know,
for
you
him.
Try it, yeah. Which, by the way, I don't know if you heard in Steve Grzanich's newscast, we've got witnesses at the scene saying, you know, Alligator Bob has set up all of these traps.
Yeah.
And the turtles are eating the food in the traps.
Yeah, I heard that this morning.
Yeah.
And Alligator Bob does not want to be identified.
Is that true?
He's identified as Alligator Bob. That's
yeah,
his name.
But we
his
are
last,
not.
No last name.
Yeah.
Oh.
Alligator Bob, by the way, there's a history. I don't know if Steve Bertrand told you this earlier, but he captured a gator in the North Branch
of
the Chicago River
ago,
back in 2010. So
I remember that.
I would assume Alligator Bob gets a tattoo every one he captures, right?
On his supposed
back,
to.
Every
just
single
to mark, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of these
what
tweets,
is he saying on
well,
his Twitter account?
You know, he gives a shout out to, let's see, where's the shout out? He's waiting for Shy Party Ant to tweet something. We all know Shy Party Ant is the...
I don't know what that is.
She's
famous Twitter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking A-N-T, like we're staying with the reptile and insects. Go ahead.
I haven't seen her lately. She's still out there?
She tweeted something yesterday or something, but she's been quiet.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, she is.
Do you know her, Bill?
I'm not sure who that is. No.
She tweets a lot of sass. Chicago-centric sass. It's really, really good.
Oh.
Not exactly sure who's behind it. I'm sure that's been revealed.
But the alligator somehow wants to form a bond.
Some kind of alliance.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Asking Pat Tomasulo, what's good, my favorite Chicago funny man?
Alligator on the street.
If you don't, how about this? And I'll clean it up as best I can. If you don't think I'll survive this winter, you don't know blank.
Yeah.
Don't move my dibs.
Oh.
So the alligator's already
quickly got into the Chicago mindset.
Exactly.
Wait, I think we know where Shy Party Ant is.
Where?
It sounds a lot like her.
Oh, it could
be. Maybe she's taken on. Is it Pequod's Pizza?
Pequod.
Pequod's Pizza. Can you hook me up at the lagoon? Sure, they deliver, right?
Yeah.
Also tweeting out a picture of the white Ford Bronco, the OJ Bronco, saying still on the run. That was 3 hours ago. So, yeah.
Alligator Bob, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, a volunteer alligator expert who declined to give his last name, has been coordinating with local and state authorities to help with the rescue efforts.
Mm-hmm.
He rode a canoe around the lagoon several times throughout the day in hopes of rescuing the gator.
Mm.
Alligator Bob said the animal's likely scared and could die if left alone in this unfamiliar environment for an extended period of time.
We don't want that. Nobody wants
that. That's what I mean. I find it shocking that this alligator is alive.
Well, it sounds like a couple days, and he says he believes it's only been there for a day or two, because after a couple days, it's going to want to look for areas where it can sleep comfortably, where people aren't staring at it, where it can eat. So they're hoping eventually it kind of realizes, look, this isn't where I can be for
all the same
long-term
rules that apply to you and me, Wendy. It's, alligators aren't that different from us.
I want to adopt this alligator.
That would be heroic.
I would.
Why don't you do that?
I only have a bathtub. I don't know.
I think that's probably how the problem originated, right? Someone had this as a pet and said, you know what? This gator's getting a little too big. Yeah. I can only give it so many chickens.
Then, you know what? Call Brookfield Zoo or Lincoln Park. It's closer. I mean,
want it.
Yeah, but I don't.
What is it? Zao Island in Valparaiso? Don't they have, they've got like 30 gators there. It's mini golf. It's like an amusement park.
Mini golf and gators. They snap at your toes on hole nine.
Actually, a few years ago, I think a kid got bit, but I don't know if they'd take it. I'm not
but
sure.
Obviously, the zoo would give you a phone number of who to call. You don't just release pets into the wild. Like if you have a bunny, a domesticated bunny, and you don't want it, you don't just let it go. It's
not
going to
survive for the day.
We see that all the time, though, in Florida, right? These exotic animals that are just like, well, I can't handle it anymore, so here you go into the Everglades, polar bear.
Well, but they truly do that with pythons, and it's become a problem down there.
Ugh. Yeah,
because the pythons can survive and thrive.
That's just...
And dominate.
Not nice.
Taking over the Everglades.
Alligator Bob, I have a quote from him.
What does he say?
This is not something to worry about. It's not going to jump out of the water and attack people. Everybody here is 5 or 6 feet tall. That gator is 5 or 6 inches tall. The animal is scared out of its wits. It's not big enough to look at humans as food, said Alligator Bob.
Yeah.
It's not like the movies where they attack you and drag the lady into the pond and stuff.
That does... He's right. That
so
does
good
happen.
Idea to bring your little puppies down now. Over by the lagoon right. and walk them.
Right.
Everything's it's safe. People.
Prime time for something like that.
That's just Mayor Lightfoot putting pressure on Alligator Bob because she doesn't want to hurt the tourism crowd at Humboldt Park.
Until
the swimming season is over.
Which, by the way, we've seen the images. I haven't had a chance to go down there yet, but I mean, there are literally dozens of people standing by watching for this alligator. Everyone wants to get the shot, you know.
Is that right?
It'll work. I mean,
no, it's summer. Not anymore.
I guess it is summer.
There's no time for work.
85% of the people are working.
All right.
Does Alligator Bob come to the authorities saying, I want in on this, or do they come to him? Who goes to who in this?
I assume he's got one of those red phones that lights up like when it's Batman. Time to call that, yeah. be called to action.
Somebody's Gordon texting. Roe already talked to Alligator Bob?
Oh,
does
Roe
get Alligator Bob? I don't think it's the real one.
Oh,
I was talking with Jeff, his producer, yesterday. He said they had him, but he didn't want to talk because he had been doing so much media, and he's got to find this gator.
Yeah.
He's got to spend less time talking to us and more time finding
like,
a gator.
Remember in Jaws, he's like Captain Quint. He, you know, he doesn't get called a lot, but when he does, he's ready.
We're going to need a bigger boat.
Right. I mean, he's exactly that.
This is the first time where I can say we miss Russ Ewing.
What did you have, salt and vinegar for breakfast today? I was going to say something else, but I can't say
no,
that
you
word.
Did it right. You handled it very well. But to Steve's credit, this there was a time in Chicago where in an alligator situation, the alligator would have said, get Russ Ewing out here. I'm giving myself up to him.
Russ could have brought him in.
Yeah.
For the perp walk.
We have Walter Jacobson. He could put on an alligator suit and go swimming and try and get
him. That's a start.
He could do it.
Yes.
I'm just worried about this alligator.
I am too. No, I don't want anything bad to happen to the alligator. He was obviously somebody did, as Ryan pointed out. It was probably somebody who collected reptiles and just went, I can't handle this, and
isn't
just let
Steve
him out.
Steve Dale going crazy?
No one can talk to him at this point. Who knows what he's going through right now?
Well, please keep us posted.
Why doesn't he, like, much like this Alligator Bob guy, you'd think Steve Dale would be front and center on this.
He's not that, I mean, he's had experience with reptiles. He has a skink.
Yes, he does.
Which is,
so you bring the skink out to talk to the alligator, serve as a mediator.
They speak the same language.
Yes.
An interpreter,
there's
if you will.
Yeah, there's got to be enough that's similar.
Tell him we want him to get out by noon.
Amphibian right. reptile, same thing?
Or we're coming in.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
God, I should have paid attention in elementary school
science. Did you see Alligator Bob did catch a shopping cart, though? I mean, Alligator Bob's going to clean out that lagoon. I mean, by the you know, if the gator holds out, we're going to get a clean lagoon out of all of this.
Was it Shoppy? What's the name of that cart on that that car commercial?
Oh, maybe
oh,
you're,
gosh.
Yeah, I think you're right.
What's his name?
I don't know. It's the weirdest commercial. Yes,
well,
I know
you don't
what you're
need a shopping
about.
Cart for a car.
You
I don't,
need
really
a shopping
get it.
Cart
Cardi it's, or I Shoppy?
I think it was some college graphics that
something
they put
like
together.
That.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Ryan, thank you for helping shed some light on this situation.
Yeah, no problem.
You're Jeff, good.
Thank you. We'll take a little break. We'll get you some news. And then yesterday, I was detained by Chicago police. We'll explain why.
Are you a perp?
I might be a perp. I could be, Wendy. We'll find out. Stick around. There's more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Scofflaw Billy.
I was pulled over yesterday, Wendy, by two of Chicago's finest for something that I did not know was illegal. I know now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Let me tell you what happened. Yesterday, during our weekly conference call, there's a WGN conference call that all your shows participate in. I was focused not only on the road, but on the betterment of the station. I was dividing my interests between navigating the Chicago streets, but also making for a better work environment.
And I appreciate your work on that.
Thank you for that, Steve.
As someone who benefits from it.
Well, obviously you were hands-free while you were listening.
I was.
Okay.
I absolutely was. I always am. I never, ever...
I know, you're...
I never text and drive or speak. I have, I have the system in my car where you just tell it to do stuff and it does stuff.
You're so hands-free, you rarely take a call.
Right. And I don't do any pottery while I'm driving. Remember in the old days, I'd have the pottery wheel, mm-hmm. and I would make a vase for
recreate
you.
Recreate the ghost scene.
Yes. Yes.
It was tough to drive and do that.
Right. Yes. So here's the situation. I'll give you as many of the specifics that I think will help you solve this.
So we're trying to guess why you were pulled over?
Yes.
All right.
Because I myself, a participant in my own story, I didn't know why I was. And by the way, I know when telling a story, you don't want to tell the end at the beginning, but I was not arrested.
Well, obviously.
Because I'm here, right?
Were you cited?
No.
They saw him.
They saw me.
Right.
Right.
So did you pull a Wendy and start crying?
I did. Now, come on.
Yes.
I've only done that twice.
You're two for two.
Right.
It worked both times.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? I would do that all the time.
But I haven't done it in years. I just am honest.
I have to keep a copy.
What?
I have to keep a copy of Brian's song in my car at all times, just in case, just to be sad at any given moment. All right. So here's what happened yesterday. I'm driving on a street that is two lanes southbound, which I'm headed, and two lanes northbound.
Was there a median in the middle of it or just a yellow line?
A yellow line.
Okay.
That's a great question, though.
Thank you.
That is a very good question. I'm approaching a stoplight in the lane that I'm in.
I know exactly what you did.
Do you already?
Yeah.
Based on what? How do you know?
I don't want to give it away and ruin your story, but I just want to say I
know?
Think I know. And I'm going to write it down.
Write it down.
Just okay.
Put it in an envelope.
All right. Go ahead.
All right. In the lane that I'm in, the left-hand lane, there are approximately 6 or 7 cars. In the lane next to me, the right-hand lane, there is one car. I do the math really quick, and I say, I bet if I'm in the right-hand lane, that will benefit my travel. I will get a quicker out-of-the-gate start. So I switch to that lane. So now keep in mind, in the left-hand lane, there are 6 or 7 cars. In my lane, there are 2 cars. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, the car in front of me decides, and he's in the right-hand lane, she is going to turn right. And she does, which is fine, because you can't. Right on red. I'm now in pole position 1 on the right-hand lane.
Okay.
In the left-hand lane, the same 6 or 7 cars now have 2 or maybe 3 additional cars. And actually, coming up behind me, one of those cars also decides to take the right-hand lane because they also did a similar math problem like I did and went, it's better to be in the number 2 pole position than the number 9 or 10. The light turns green. The car to my left in the left-hand lane isn't very fast out of the gate. He or she is texting or call, whatever.
Just not paying attention.
Just not paying attention, but the light turns green, and I proceed. I then notice that about, 20 or 30 yards up, there's a car parked on the street, thus ending my lane.
Mm-hmm.
So I switch to the left-hand lane. Then, seconds later...
Am I right?
No.
Oh.
Wendy, your guess is incorrect.
All right, so can I say it?
Yeah.
I thought you could not change lanes in the middle of an intersection. That's illegal.
I don't think you can do that,
okay.
But I didn't do that.
Okay.
I stayed in the right-hand lane. I'm trying to think if I'm leaving anything out that will help you. I'm driving a Jeep.
Well,
it's
God.
Gray. I have been to Costa Rica. Some of these may be to throw you off. Some of these fun facts may be there to throw you off. So I proceed through the intersection. I notice that there's a car that will end my lane.
Right.
So I signal and I move to the left-hand lane. Then, 3 seconds later, the bright blue lights are flashing and I am pulled over. What did Bill do wrong?
Wow. If it's not, you didn't change lanes in the midst
no.
of an intersection. Is it within 20 feet of an intersection?
No.
And there were, you're not supposed to, are we supposed to yield to the other cars?
He said that I passed in the right-hand lane, which I did.
And it's illegal to pass in the right-hand lane.
But you can't pass, as he explained to me.
That's me. That's in a highway situation.
So when you, did you come to a full stop?
At the stoplight, absolutely.
Then that's ridiculous.
My defense was going to be, here's where I caught myself. I've done that 5,000 times.
Yeah, I'm so glad you buttoned it.
I got to the I part, and then I just gave up on the sentence. I went, this isn't going to help me. If I tell him I do it every day, he'll find me every day. I'll get arrested every day.
He'll be waiting for you.
No, what I would do if I were him.
I don't understand that.
He said it is illegal, and then I had questions, but I'm like, let's see where this goes, because he took my license and registration back to his car, and I'm like, I've got a really good driving record, so maybe that'll be in my best interest.
And it pops up, this is WGN's Bill Leff.
Which I think would put me in more danger.
I guess maybe.
Boy, he must have been having a really slow day.
Mary, that's not something you want to bring up to him.
No, you've never said
and
that.
And you don't want to ever use the word quota. What is the quota almost? You don't want to ever.
I don't think quota's a real thing.
It's not the end of the month.
Right. But I don't even think that's really a real thing.
I don't think it is either.
Hmm.
I don't think it is.
Police officers call us 312-981-7200.
But all the questions that were going through my head, I thought it's probably better to just. I know that ignorance is no defense of the
it
law.
Isn't.
I understand
You're right.
That you can't go, I didn't know that was illegal. But I honestly, not only have I done that 5,000 times this year, and I've had it done to me. And I think when you're on the road, you just kind of realize whoever's in the lead, if they can safely change lanes or pass, just then do it. Change lanes or pass.
He didn't say that you were in a right turn lane at the intersection, right?
No.
You weren't in a right turn lane.
It was a lane that could either be used.
Right.
I only got in it because the car in front of me at that time wasn't going to turn right. But then at some point she decided I am going to turn right, and she did. Because I never block. If somebody needs access to there, I give it to them. I don't want to take a lane away from somebody.
The only way I'd see this would be a problem is if Steve mentioned it was a right turn only lane in the right lane.
Then I would have, absolutely. So but I would not have done it.
What did the officer say?
He said, you know what you just did was illegal. And I said, I honestly don't know why you pulled me over. And he said, well, you just passed a couple of cars there, didn't you? I said, I did. And he goes, and what lane are you in? I said, I'm in the left lane. He said, but when you passed them, what lane were you in? I said, I was in the right-hand lane. And he threw his hands up like, gotcha. And I go, am I not allowed to do that? He said, pass on the right? Absolutely not. The left lane is for passing.
That's, I really would love to hear from police officers.
Yes.
Because, I drive up and down Waukegan Road or every four-lane road I've ever driven on.
Yeah. You pass.
If
you
someone's pass turning left.
Even if they're just driving slowly. It's
right.
Not, you know.
Right.
We have Officer, I don't know if we're going to do, is this, hi, Officer, what am I supposed to call you?
His
officer
Eminence.
Officer Barney 5, please. I'm from Mayberry.
All right, Officer Barney. Are you for real?
Yes, ma'am. Do you not believe that I'm a law-abiding officer of the law?
I don't know. Your voice doesn't sound believable to me. I'm making a citizen's arrest.
Yeah, we need to hear you say the word citizen's arrest to determine whether this is real or not. What happened there?
All we have to do is say Wendy for that. Citizen's arrest is Wendy. When is she going to do that?
I don't know what you're talking about. Are you really an officer?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so...
Would you like my jurisdiction badge number and ID?
I don't think you want to give that out over the radio.
Don't do that. What did I do wrong, sir?
Everything, Bill. You should not be driving, number one. You should be Ubering at all times.
There's something to that. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
No
what was the violation you think you committed, Mr. Left?
Were you listening to the story? Because he allegedly was passing in the right lane. What are your thoughts on that?
Passing in the right lane is illegal. Penal code number 720.
Right. Nice to talk to you.
Don't hang up on me.
Goodbye. He felt it coming.
I knew a half a second in he was not a police officer.
I know, but see, I'm easy. I really am. But honestly, a legitimate police officer, or we should get Jesse White on.
Yeah, let's talk to him. Find out what the tumblers are up to. I honestly,
he's Secretary of State.
I didn't want
to
ask more. Like I said, it ended well with him just warning me.
But
saying,
I don't
be
understand that. I've done that.
Everyone's done that. That's how driving works. If somebody's slow in the lane next to you, you pass them. That's just how it works. If you didn't, your commute would take twice as long every day.
And you're not even really passing them. You're kind of just going by them.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
It's not like you're overtaking them.
No, and if you have, this happens every morning on Ogden Avenue when I'm driving in, you have people in the left lane that are going to turn left.
Yes.
And you have about eight people behind them who are not turning left, who put their turn signal on, and when there's a break in traffic, they move over to the right.
Right.
I guess technically you're passing the people waiting there. But that's everybody does it.
Everybody does it on every road every day. I don't know. And again, I didn't want to push the envelope at all. I
smart
just wanted
move.
To go. It looks like I'm going to get out of here without a ticket. So let's leave it at that. And I even said at the end, I said, thank you for not giving me a ticket. I will drive more safely. But I have to say, if I was in the same exact situation today, I think I would pass the cars that weren't going in the left-hand lane.
Okay, that was the wrong thing to say, because what if he's there today and sees you do this?
No, I'm in that particular area, I'm going to be extremely careful. But everywhere else. But honestly, who doesn't do that? Everybody does that. And I know that that doesn't make the law, it doesn't change the law, but
I need to know the actual law on this.
Right.
I know you can't pass. You're not supposed to pass in the right lane. But what if you have somebody, put this to a two-lane highway or expressway. You have someone in the left lane who's going two.
Mm-hmm. Are you not going to pass that
person? You're going to pass them.
I was tempted to say, you know, the car that I did pass was not paying attention. And I believe it was because they were either texting or on their phone.
Yeah, go pull them over.
I know that's illegal. So let's you and me to get. Let's work together to stop that problem.
And you know about the security truckers, the police truckers now? They're sitting in truck cabs so they can look down in your car to see if anybody's texting.
Oh, no, I didn't know that, but good.
I like
that a lot.
I heard, all for that. Steve, were you guys talking about it on the John Williams show, and you thought it was kind of a sneaky thing to do?
It is a sneaky thing to do,
but it kind of needs to
effective.
Be done. But allegedly, you can't even be touching your phone. Like, if you get a text, you know, I leave it on the center console and would just click a button and look, oh, I'll deal with that later.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to touch it at all.
Yeah.
All right, we got to find out about this passing on the right, because, I mean, I guess technically you were passing.
I absolutely did what he said I did. There's no question about it. I passed two or three cars. There's no question about it. But, how illegal is it? Is it illegal? I just said, okay, I will be more careful. I played it by the book.
The laws in most states prohibit passing on the right except under the following circumstances. The passed vehicle is about to turn left.
No, that was not the case.
The street or road is wide enough to accommodate two lanes of traffic.
The street was wide enough to, it was two, I mean, it's marked two lanes. There's a divider in the center. So,
all right,
I rest my case.
And or if you're Bill Leff.
Oh, it says that?
Yeah.
Really?
All right, let me try and find out some more information.
We'll take a break. And if you are a police officer and you know the answer to this, please let us know. We're
come and arrest
to.
Bill.
Yeah, come and get me. Coppers, I'm ready.
All right, that is stupid.
It's Bill and Wendy WGN.
You are a very, very bad boy.
Wendy, it turns out I am. Yesterday, I was pulled over by two Chicago policemen.
In the same car?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the same car.
It's not like you had two cars pull up behind
you.
No. That would have been bad.
That would have been an incident. I did something that I didn't know was illegal. I'm still not 100% sure that what I did was illegal. I'm about 3% sure what I did was illegal. Very, very briefly, I'm on a lane going southbound. There's two lanes of traffic going my way southbound. There's two lanes going northbound. I'm in the number two pole position in the right-hand lane. The car in front of me decides she wants to take a right turn, and she does. Then the light turns green. The car to my left is going slowly. I pass that car and pretty much every car on the left-hand side. I notice that there's a vehicle about 40 yards up in front of me, so I need to get into the left-hand lane, so I do. And then the policeman pulled me over explaining that I have passed in the right-hand lane, which I'm not allowed to do.
I don't get what happened to you, Bill, says 773. You mean if cars are stopped in a left lane, you can't pass them, you have to stop also? I mean,
that's essentially what happened.
Well, you can't just stop there. And somebody said, why isn't that person who was double parked ticketed?
That part of the street was then allowing cars to be parked there. You could park there during certain hours, and that was within the hours that you were allowed to be parked there.
This sounds weird to me. Kevin's on the line. The same thing happened to you?
Yes, it did. And what the officer explained to me was because I was in the left lane, went into the right lane and passed the car, and then went immediately back into the left lane, that was technically passing. If I had gotten to the right lane, even if I passed that car, if I had just stayed in the right lane for a little while, it would have only been considered a lane change. And I could even switch back into the left lane, but I had to stay in the right lane for a while, so it was technically a lane change rather than passing on the right.
All right, I get that, but how long is a while? A block?
Well, mine, because I asked him that.
He said a reasonable amount of time so that it didn't look like you were just going around the car. And he said it's very vague, and it's really up to the officer's discretion. But he said if you go right around the car and immediately back into the lane, then it's definitely passing on the right.
Did you get a ticket for this, Kevin?
No.
Oh, all right.
Just a warning.
Yep, just a warning. Yeah. He said he just wanted to make sure that he let me know so that some other cop who's been on the job for a long time and hates people didn't write me a ticket.
Let me ask you one final question, Kevin. Did you do it again, like the next day or ever again?
No, I've actually, this happened about 2 years ago, and I've just been very cognizant of the fact that when I do go around somebody on the right, that I stay in that lane for a block or two, and then go back to the left lane.
Very interesting. You learned.
Yeah.
Bill did not.
I did.
No, I didn't.
Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin. So to Kevin's point, my story fit his criteria exactly. I was in the left-hand lane, and as I'm coming to the intersection, I realize there's a lot less cars in the right-hand lane, so I did switch, stopped for a couple of seconds, 2 seconds.
But the light was red when you stopped?
The light was red when I stopped.
Okay, it wasn't one fluid motion.
No.
You got into the right lane.
Yes.
Then you were going to go, you were there for a reasonable amount of time because the light was red.
It was only, but the reasonable amount of time is the crazy part, because the timing was such that as I got into that right-hand lane, the car in front of me was deciding to turn right, and then once it made its successful turn, the light turned green. So within a second and a half, I then had right of way. There was nobody in front of me anymore, and that's when I passed the cars.
How far up was the car sticking out in the right lane? Could you have
gone? About 40 yards. 35, 40 yards.
So I just wonder if you would have gone a little farther and then switched to the left lane.
If that would have made it all right. I don't know.
I still don't get it. I usually am not on your side, but this time I am.
You are?
Yep.
Oh.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
The same thing happened to you?
Love you guys, by the way.
Oh, well,
thank you.
Yep, it happened in Elburn, and I think the only thing is trying to pass on the right to get around somebody that was turning left. And they pulled me over, and I honestly didn't know what I did wrong either. I just couldn't figure it out. You know, there's enough road on the right-hand side. No other cars were coming around. And then he said, you can't pass around the right. And I think the only thing that got me off was my 2-year-old daughter that, while he was talking to me, kept going, hi, police.
I kept saying that, too, but he looked at me like I was crazy.
You need a rent-a-daughter.
I'm going to get. I'm gonna do that. So no ticket for you either, obviously.
No, I got right. But I did get a warning, and now I remember that rule all the time.
And you've never done it since? Not even once?
Well, I can't tell.
All right.
We have a bad connection, Laura. Sorry. Thank you so much for calling. Everybody's doing it again. Although someone has texted, Bill, if they're listening to you, you'd better take a new route home unless they now have an APB out on you. Oh. You're on their radar. They may ticket you for sneezing while driving, which is also illegal.
All right. I won't do that. I will take a different route home. Thank you.
Just be careful out there. Girls who run the world. Girls who run the world. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are joined by our show psychologist, Dr. John Duffy. Congratulations to the U.S. girls champions. I got to tell you, I did not watch one lick of soccer.
Oh, you didn't? Nothing?
It is impressive to watch. I didn't watch much of it because soccer is a very long game and it's stressful, right? But it is impressive just to run, stop, turn, and all the finesse that these women had. I mean, there were that the score of the last game, Bill, could
two
have
to
been
nothing. Two to nil. You have to say 2-0.
It could have been 6-0 from the pitch.
It could have been 6-0.
I like from the pitch.
Yeah,
too.
They say that.
All right, so the U.S. women's soccer team won the World Cup.
Right?
There's this 15-year-old phenom in tennis who all of a sudden I'm not that excited about because she's out of it.
Yeah, she lost the other day. Coco Gauff.
But made quite the stir. She and her mother as well. In Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And we should just say, you even said, look how far she got and she beat Serena Williams, but
I think the fact that she was so young and inexperienced helped her because if you were older and more seasoned, it would get to you, the pressure would get to you, but she didn't feel the pressure.
No, right. I think that's right. You know, she didn't even know. When you're 15, you don't know, like, I'm supposed to be really, really scared, right? You know, I'm playing one of the Williams sisters.
Right.
This it's is
huge.
Her idol. She was playing her idol.
Right.
And the thing that bothered us is you brought up the women's soccer get 18 cents for every man's soccer's dollar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Women need to be celebrated more.
Oh, it's absolute madness. I like to think that we're heading somewhere different. I was talking to somebody this morning. There have been two boys in my office since this whole run started wearing women's soccer jerseys. And without any irony whatsoever, kind of like, you know, these are winners. You know, I'm going to wear the jersey of the people who are winning.
Right.
And not even talking about, like, you know, they were really talking about we, the U.S. team, are doing really, really well here.
Yeah.
I thought that's a really good sign for both genders and not just for soccer itself, but for kids getting involved in sports more. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of kids have talked to me this week. Somebody who dropped out of soccer a couple of years ago, she's going to get back into it. Somebody who is a runner really liked the idea of like, wow, they're running something like 16 miles a game. If you really like parse it out,
I'm gonna
get back into that. You know,
Coco beat Venus. By the way, I'm sorry,
I was gonna
Serena.
Point that out.
Well, you should.
Well, Venus is a little bit older, so it might take a little something away from Coco's achievements, but it shouldn't take much.
John, I heard several people talk about when discussing the women's soccer team. They're cocky, they're aggressive, there's other adjectives that we usually use for guys, and when we use them for guys, they're positives, but when we use them for women, they're negatives.
Amen, Bill Leff.
True.
Right. You know, the girls I'm talking to love everything about the fact that they're behaving like athletes.
To
take gender out of it altogether, they're behaving like athletes, and, you know, I know that there were a couple of kind of deep rubs. The T-sip, for example, was, you know, kind of a diss.
Yes.
No big deal, in my opinion.
What I liked about it was, you know, like, okay, this is, she was surprised, right? The athlete was surprised, like, why is this a big deal? You know, I thought that we were able to kind of like rub it in a little bit if we're winning, and, you know, like, that's what a guy would do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do that, you know?
Yeah. She didn't flip him off. It was just kind of a subtle, I think it was great.
It was a little clever celebration, right? You know, and I think that's something else that's drawing the kids into it, is this team is fun, they're competitive, and they're having a blast. I don't know if either of you got to see yesterday, some footage came out of their celebration kind of in the locker room, but it looked like any other celebration. I mean, there's champagne all over the place. People are dancing. Everyone's screaming.
It's a big deal.
Yeah. But it's not necessarily a gender-specific deal anymore, you know? Yeah,
right.
Which I think is really helpful for the kids. Yeah.
I love that the guys were wearing a girls' team jersey for once. I guess there's not been a lot of reasons to do it in the past, but I just like to see that.
But they won it last year. It's the strangest thing because it got almost no press last year, and I don't know what's changed in a year.
Right.
But most people are like, wait, when did they win this? A year ago.
Right, right.
No,
it was
idea.
Very recent.
They should have done the teacup or whatever last year because maybe they would have gotten more attention.
Yeah.
Right. And part of it might be, I've heard some people say, like, there's a lot of characters on this team who are big personalities.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you've probably read here and there, like, you know, oh, it's inappropriate. And, you know, some of the celebrating is inappropriate. But I couldn't disagree with that more. I think it's got to be fun. And it's I do think we let guys get away with a lot more in that regard than we do women. And so I'm glad that they're celebrating, and I'm glad that girls are seeing, like, oh yeah, we can have the same kind of achievement as some of these guys. And even if we don't get to that pinnacle, which most no kids will, at least we're going to get involved. We want to be a part of that movement, whatever that is.
Yep.
I think that's good for kids.
All right, we'll take a little break, and then more with Dr. John Duffy. If you'd like to jump in, we're at 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dr. John Duffy's here. Dr. Duffy was recently published in Your Teen Magazine.
Yes.
And it's an article that we wanted to discuss with you. What was written?
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit in there about the lectures that parents want to give their kids. And most of the parents I work with, most of the parents I know want to impart some wisdom on their kids.
It's your job.
I only have them for a certain number of years, and I'm going to impart wisdom based on my life lessons, the things that I've learned, the way my parents did with me, right?
Yeah.
The problem with that today is it is wholly ineffective in my experience.
You can see the kid tune out. If you, you know, slip into lecture mode, like, you know, treat everyone as you want to, they just roll their eyes. I mean, they don't want to hear that. They want to have a conversation.
They want to be involved. They want to have a conversation. And if you engage them in a conversation about any topic that's bothering you, kids are in. They'll converse. They'll discuss things by and large. I see that all the time. But if you slip into lecture mode, I can actually ask a kid either to take over the lecture. They can always do that with some, you know, grace, and it's pretty funny. They could just tune out altogether and say, you know, like, I already know what you're going to say. It doesn't matter, you know.
So how does a parent figure out the right way to navigate that so that they're not really lecturing, but that it's worked into a conversation? What's the key to that?
Well, here's the tricky thing about lecturing today. A generation ago, most of us were parented via lecture, right? You know, and that was pretty effective. So we hope that's effective now, and it's not. Part of the reason is we don't always know what we're talking about. So there's a lot of things
our kids did our parents, John.
Fair enough.
They faked it better than we did.
They faked it really well.
Yes, they did.
And they were able to get us afraid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And which
we were afraid.
I think a generation ago, if I were a psychologist, I probably would have said, parent via fear, that will work, you know, because it
motivator.
Did. You know, wait till your father gets home.
Yes.
Okay, I'm done. I'm out. Now, fear does not work with kids. And that might feel like bad news that leaves us with no tools, but that's not true. Because there's a lot of things to do. If you engage them in a conversation, if you're curious about, okay, so what's going on here? You know, I noticed your grades are slipping. Tell me a little bit about that. What's happening here?
Yeah.
Because we don't know about the stressors they're going through. We don't know about social media. We don't know about the social, academic, all the other stuff that's involved in their lives. We were 16 once, but we weren't 16 like they're 16.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very different now. So the more curious you are, the better off you're going
to
be.
Don't you think, though, to some extent, that could be said of every generation that's ever taken place? I know it's been accelerated with this generation, but it's really kind of been around like that forever, hasn't
it? It's probably good parenting advice for 1948, if we could go back to it, for sure.
Yeah.
It's definitely amplified and speeding up, like, you know, just for technology's sake in our generation now. You know, like, so I think it's harder and harder to parent because of the stress of the impact like social media has on self-esteem, for example. It's hard to get a grasp on that as a parent. So it's important to ask, like, you know, what is this like for you? You know, I think it's harder now than it's ever been. And there's some variables now that we've never seen before. That's probably true of every generation as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of a vape or a Juul or, you know, Snapchat.
Mm-hmm.
I often start my talks with parents and ask them, somebody come up here and tell me how Snapchat works. And nobody has any idea.
Right.
I mean, none whatsoever, you know?
Yeah.
So it's important to ask and to learn from your kids as opposed to lecture at them. And just know this, if you're lecturing at them, if you find yourself doing that, you're probably not making the impact you hope you are.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can take a step back from that, take a breath, take a step back from that and say, ask the curious question as opposed to making the point that you want to make with your finger shaking. You are far more likely to gain some leverage and some behavior change than you are if you are just talking at your kids. I hardly ever see that work. And when it works, it usually still creates a divide between the parent and child.
And you get a lot of parents out there that say, you know, I am an old school parent. I stick to the rules. I'm like a drill sergeant. And if you, you know, even if you're talking amongst your friends, oh, my kid did this. Oh, what'd you do? Well, I had a talk with them. Oh, snowflake, you're not a good parent. You know, you do what you can with your situation. Obviously, we all have the same goals, to have our kids be happy, healthy, and functioning.
Right, right, right. So what we get hung up on is this idea that we're not supposed to be our kids' friends, right? This is drilled into our heads from, you know, very early parenthood. What we miss is that we do want to be friendly with our kids. We want an alliance with our kids. We don't want to be in the enemy camp, because if you're in the enemy camp, our kids are working, by the time they're preteens, they're working around us. They're specifically not telling us what's going on in their lives. And they're just like, you know, my mom has no idea how this works. So we can just, I'll meet you at the place and, mm-hmm. you know, I won't tell her a thing about it. As opposed to an alliance, you know, hey, can I go and do this? Well, tell me what this is. Help me understand what this is. And then you can come up with an agreement that you're both working on. And that might seem like a snowflake thing, but what it really is kind of money in the emotional bank account that you can use when you need it. So there are times, so I'll be contrarian for a second here, there are times when we're going to need to lecture, right? You know, your kid comes home drunk or really late for the first time. And in order to have some leverage in that discussion, you need to have done a lot of talking and listening and playing and, you know, joking around so that your child realizes mom and dad are cool enough, I can talk to them.
But they're serious this time.
They're serious this time. This is a departure. Exactly.
Adults used to have a couple of safety nets. Like, you could say things like if there was a debate between the parent and the child, you could just say, because I said so, and that's supposed to be the end of it.
Oh, God, I hated that.
But that's over, and you say that that's not a bad thing, that those days are over, right?
It's not a bad thing, no, because part of the joy of parenthood is not being able to say, because I said so. Part of it is, you know, learning from your kid, being curious and learning and listening to your child, you know? And that alliance that I'm talking about isn't just for like 13, 15, and 17 years old. It's also for 37 and 38 and 39. You know, it's like, it's a lifelong thing that you want to create with your kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents, a lot of people in our generation, will go and see our parents on Thanksgiving. But not everybody's excited about it, right? A lot of us are kind of like, when I was a teenager, you know, they wouldn't even listen to me and they just directed me as to what they were going to do.
Right.
And we might be creating something different with our kids so that, you know, a generation from now, they're happy to come and see us.
But we always want to find a way to convey to them, I've been around the block a couple of times and I kind of know what's out there.
Yeah.
What did you do when your mom said that? Because if my mom or older sister said that, I'd be like, okay, great.
Yeah.
But you need to almost experience it yourself.
You do. And the point a lot of kids would make is, maybe you've been around a block, but it's a different block than the one I'm going around.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So you need to understand this block if you're going to talk to me about it.
Yeah.
You know? And it might feel like, well, wait a minute, where do I exert my parenting, you know, heavy? You know, where do I get to be the heavy? And my answer is usually, oh, you don't. That's not that important.
Yeah.
You know, it's way more important. Your kid needs you to be available as an ally and to understand what their world is about way more than they need you to come in on them hard,
right?
As the heavy.
And there are people too that say, you know, kids today are so entitled and disrespectful, and they are bad to authority figures. It's not because of a relationship with their parents. What is the connection? Is there one?
Yeah. I think that's often for the parents' audience. You know, I get to see a lot of kids when their parents are not there. And, you know, and if you talk to teachers, if you talk to psychologists, if you talk to coaches, they'll often say, oh, your kid that's so belligerent at home, absolute angel.
Yeah.
Couldn't be better, follows the instructions, does everything I ask them to do.
It's so shocking when you hear that, let me just say.
Right? I mean, it really, most parents will tell me, like, are you sure?
You got my kid confused with someone else?
Right. Are you sugarcoating this, or do you have my kid confused?
Let me bring this into the 21st century. Is it okay to have Siri talk to your child?
I think that's probably okay, yeah.
I don't know if I just read this or saw this on a show, but you're supposed, we talked about it at our meeting, our staff meeting when we were off the air on Monday.
Yeah.
There's a group of kids that will ask Siri for something and demand something. And as a parent, you're supposed to say to your kid, thanks, Siri. Because if you don't say thank you, Siri, then you're just going to be demanding things from people in the future. It's kind of good advice.
That's really interesting advice, right? What an odd new age we've entered here. But yeah, thanks, Siri. I think that's probably really good advice. Don't be rude to the
computer voice.
Right. Thank you.
The Available Parent, and you talk about being an available parent, was your first book that's out and about now, and you have a new book coming out soon.
Yes, Parenting the New Teen in the Age of Anxiety. It's a mouthful, but it's all necessary. Comes out September 15th. It's available for pre-sale on Amazon and through my website as of right now.
Perfect. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Eric Rung does a nice job, Wendy.
I'm a big fan of Eric
Rung. I'm a big fan of Eric Rung.
On radio and TV.
Yep.
Can I share a fear that I've had for many, many years, and you've laughed at me?
I have, but I might stop. No, I'm still going to.
Well, I'm half Italian. I like getting Italian bread or French bread. I prefer the crusty artisan bread.
Yes.
But the bags are never long enough. And if you get a Gnutella bread, a lot of times part of the bread is sticking out of the end.
It's exposed.
It is.
Yes.
And
it's been
I
like
always,
that for centuries.
I know, but first of all, my first question, just make the bags longer.
You could do that.
Or the bread shorter.
You could also do that. But then people would complain, I used to buy this bread and it was this long and now it's only this long. What happened?
But you have to throw the exposed part out or give it to your dog because someone might have licked it.
This has been a fear of yours for your whole life.
I mean, for years.
And we've explained to you that why would anybody do that? What's in it for them to lick bread? They're not going to sit there and see you eat your bread and go, ah, a couple of minutes ago, that's impossible.
Well, some of it I thought were just mean, prankish adults, and some of it were like young kids who were walking by about the same height as that basket that holds the French bread.
Yeah.
So it's exposed. Why wouldn't they lick it?
Now, I've seen French bread thousands of times in my life. I've never thought of licking it, and I've never thought that maybe somebody has licked it. I just buy it and enjoy it. But you can't even do that because you think it's been licked.
I have maybe an irrational fear of it, okay?
I think you do.
And my checkout girl has, you know how they make those brown paper liquor bags that you put a bottle of wine or something in?
Yes.
She puts it like a sheath over the exposed end, so now there's two wrappers and I can put it in my car. Why don't they just do that when they display it? But anyway, there was something in the news, and I guess this happened when I was not here.
It started last week, but it's continuing.
All right, there was a woman who, there's a video of her licking a tub of ice cream, and then she put the lid back on and returned it to a supermarket freezer.
Yeah.
And it turns out it happened in a Walmart store in Lufkin, Texas. And on the video, there's someone laughing, saying, lick it, lick it. And she faces up to 20 years if they find her. I mean, this is serious. She's not going to get 20 years.
I'd be shocked to see her get 2 years of jail time for this. But still, I mean, you got to set a precedent. You can't just be... You can't go into a grocery store and lick food.
I can't take it, but you said there's another story that's surfaced now?
There are now two stories. One just hours ago of people committing copycat licking crimes.
Copycat licking is something I never thought I'd heard anyone say.
You'd hope that wouldn't be a thing, but it is. Listen to this story. This happened on Saturday. A copycat ice cream licker was arrested in Louisiana on Saturday. In the weeks after, he was caught on video allegedly licking ice cream in a grocery store and then putting it back in the refrigerator. Lenice Martin III, age 36, was taken into custody after a video of him circulated online showing him doing the deed. Martin appears to open... It doesn't appear. I've watched this video. He's doing this. I know you have to word it a certain way.
Why do you, now that there's actual footage of it, why do you have to say allegedly and appears?
Because he hasn't been convicted of it. So just
but you're looking
legally,
at him.
We're watching. I guess there's also the chance that this is not Lenice Martin III.
Could be his doppelganger.
It could be one of the many Lenice Martin III lookalikes who are
lookalikes.
Lookalikes. Martin appears to open a tub of ice cream, spoiler alert, he does, lick it, and then touch it with his finger, and then place it back on the freezer shelf. When management became aware of the video, Martin returned to the store to prove that he had purchased the ice cream.
Then why did he put it back?
Yeah, that's a little suspect, isn't it? Martin was charged with criminal mischief and unlawful posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity, and remained jailed as of Monday morning, according to online records with the Assumption Parish Sheriff's Office.
Wait, that charge seems a little light to me. What is it? Mischief and...
Criminal mischief?
Yeah, criminal mischief and...
Charged with criminal mischief and unlawful posting of criminal activity for notoriety and publicity. That's a relatively new law. That's just one that says it's been documented on film. I'm posting it. Let's all enjoy it. You can't do that. So committing the crime is crime one.
Yes.
Posting it
right.
is crime number two. His alleged criminal act was seemingly inspired by the girl that you just mentioned, who was caught on camera doing the same thing, licking a tub of ice cream, specifically Bluebell brand.
That's and then not placing fair to Bluebell. Back on the shelf.
Well, they had to do a huge recall in Texas, not just at that one store, but they had to recall almost all of their ice cream product because everybody was afraid that this woman was a serial licker, that she was going from store to store licking all, everybody's ice cream.
I'm telling you, she didn't stay brand specific for her licking.
Right.
I'm sure she just picked flavors she liked.
Well,
I would lick the Grater's coconut chocolate chip, but then I'd buy it.
Right.
I'm addicted to that stuff.
Her flavor of choice was Tin Roof.
Rusted! What is it?
It's a quick lick flavor, Wendy. If you're in a situation where you only have a few seconds to lick, yeah, you're going to go Tin Roof.
More bang for your buck on that
lick? You're going to get a lot more bang for your buck.
Can I just ask what Tin Roof is? Peanuts?
I'm not positive.
Oh, we got to know. You're the ice cream connoisseur.
For some reason, I've not had Tin Roof.
Have you had Heavenly Hash?
Yes.
Moose Tracks?
Yes.
The names they come up with.
Why have I not had the Tin Roof?
I don't know.
Now here's a story that just broke 2 hours ago.
What?
A Florida woman was arrested after police say that she spit in ice cream, picked her nose and touched it, and then urinated in a bucket used to churn ice cream.
So this was at the factory?
This was in St. Petersburg. No, at an ice cream shop. I'll get to that part.
Oh, okay, sorry.
St. Petersburg resident Jung Sin Waipacha.
Because I can't.
Was charged with, again, criminal mischief. That's the crime of the day, Wendy. Criminal mischief. Everybody's getting in on it.
But I want to know what the sentence is for that or the...
And I wonder if some flavors, like does Tin Roof have the stiffest penalty? You get 20 years standard for Tin Roof?
Vanilla gets the lowest.
Vanilla, everyone's like, ah.
Can I just tell you, by the way, Tin Roof is a vanilla ice cream with a rich chocolate fudge swirl and roasted peanuts dipped in dark chocolate.
Like a roof would be.
Your roof is dipped in chocolate.
Yes, we had our roof dipped in chocolate.
A Tin Roof gets rusty, so I think that the peanuts give it the rusty color.
I bet you're right.
Although, how come no caramel then?
But there should be some caramel.
Yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Miss Waipacha, age 66, was charged. I like that this new ice cream licking knows no boundaries. Like men can do it, women can do it, all races, creeds, colors, everybody's in on it, Wendy. She was charged with criminal mischief and tampering with consumer products after selling $2,000 worth of ice cream at Lulu's ice cream shop in Indian Shores, Florida. This, according to an arrest affidavit sent to USA Today. Waipacha was also caught on video after authorities reviewed the store's surveillance tapes, which showed her tainting the store's merchandise on several different occasions dating back to June the 17th. They must have a frequent urinators club there where if you come in and do it enough times, you get a discount. I don't understand it. The affidavit said that there were 5 incidents of the woman, Miss Waipacha, using the bathroom that her business shared with the ice cream shop, with the door wide open and then putting her hands in the containers without washing her hands.
Well, first of all, I hope she's been fired.
You would hope.
Come on, she hasn't?
That's an almost automatic. What if they were just lenient? Well, you know, this is ruining your chances of being employee of the month. You understand that, don't you? I know.
I mean, this is criminal.
This is awful. Well, how does it happen? I mean, maybe this has been happening for a long, long time, but now that there's video everywhere, we're onto it. But this is three separate incidents all within a week.
The only defense I can give them is ice cream is meant for licking. Bread is not.
Well, I mean, if you're going to argue the point, yes, what you say is true. Ice cream is far more lickable than French bread is, but it doesn't make it right. You can't in court say that. You can't go, Your Honor. Let's be honest.
Now I understand why people grow their own food.
Because of this.
I mean, really.
You know that if you're growing in your own garden, the chances of one of these three people or anybody licking it are slim.
I'm going to start churning my own butter, my ice cream, milking cows.
Yes.
I just trust no one. Me and Mulder.
I do have to say, in the last couple of days, I've had ice cream twice. And upon opening the ice cream, I'm very careful.
What do you look for? Ice crystals?
Lick marks. I've taken carbon copies of everyone near me's tongue to make sure that nobody has pre-licked my ice cream.
I really cannot stop with the Grater's coconut chocolate chip ice cream. Now, you know, for all these years, I have not been a fan.
You've not been an ice cream fan, but now this has turned you around.
I can't stop.
Yeah.
It is the best ice cream I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Are you aware of, now, because I eat ice cream all the time, and every once in a while, a new flavor or something will come to me, and it gets me very, very excited. You're aware of Talenti ice cream? If you've ever seen that? Jewel carries it. I think Mariano's carries it.
Is it gelato, or is it ice cream?
It's ice cream, but here's how you'll know it. They've got an incredible array of flavors, but they're not big on colors.
So it's a clear container with just a brown lid?
Yeah.
I know
that. And almost every one of their flavors, and they must have 35 or 40 flavors, they're all real dull earth tones. No matter what flavor you get, it's either like a grayish brown or a brownish gray. That's the entire spectrum of Talenti. It tastes fantastic, but if you're going for that bright, colorful look that ice cream sometimes has, you're not going to find it with Talenti. So they have a flavor right now called chocolate cherry cheesecake that is so insanely good that I'm going to have to ask the people at my local ice cream shop to stop selling it to me, because I could buy it all day every day.
That's your ice cream shop saying that they just got a shipment in.
Right.
Do you know they make an old world eggnog?
Yes, I've had that. It's very good. That's only available at Christmas time, as it should be. You can only lick that from November 1st through the end of the year. If you're planning on a licking field trip, please plan accordingly. I want to pay a quick tribute to an actor who just made me laugh so, so hard. We found out earlier this morning that Rip Torn had died, known for several different roles. Early on, mostly dramatic roles, but later in his life, he made a switch to comedy, and he was so good at it. If you have not seen his work on The Larry Sanders Show, where he played the producer of the show, Artie, you need to see it because he's masterful in every single episode.
That was his first attempt at comedy?
No, not his first attempt. He had done a couple of things prior to that, but that was really the one where people took notice and went, wow, this guy that we thought we had figured out, because he played almost all dramatic roles until then, can really do comedy. He was essentially on The Larry Sanders Show. For people who don't know, during Johnny Carson's years on The Tonight Show, he had a producer named Freddie DeCorvita, and he was doing kind of a version of him.
Was Freddie really like that? Like, so not crass?
From what I hear, no. He took it to kind of a new level. Because the character of Artie was, he didn't have much tolerance for things.
God, it was funny.
So funny. So funny. But he was in the Albert Brooks movie, Defending Your Life. He was really good in that. He was in the Men in Black movies.
Yes.
A long, long, long career. The movie Dodgeball.
I don't know if you ever saw
Dodgeball.
Yeah.
He was in that. Very strange. Much like Leslie Nielsen, who early in his career did almost exclusively dramas, and then all of a sudden he got in with Zucker and Abrams and made the Airplane movies. The same kind of thing happened with him, where it was one drama after another, and then all of a sudden something changes and it's almost all comedy. The last several years of the last decade and a half or two decades of his life, Rip Torn did almost exclusively comedies.
And then he got into a knife fight with Dennis Hopper or something.
He had a couple of weird, he had a few weird incidents like that?
Rip Torn, I guess in 1994, during an appearance on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Dennis Hopper accused Rip Torn of threatening him with a knife during pre-production on Easy Rider. And Rip Torn then went on to sue Hopper for defamation and won more than $900,000 in punitive damages. What, is Dennis Hopper just making up stuff?
I don't know.
Well, he's Dennis Hopper.
Yeah.
And in 2010, Rip Torn was arrested for breaking into a bank in Lakeville, Connecticut, yeah, later charged with carrying a firearm without a permit. He had some drinking issues as well.
Yes.
And he was really funny, and I thought he did a great job and was kind of handsome, I gotta admit. 88 years old.
I know you have seen this episode because you've referenced it a couple times, but on the Larry Sanders Show, there's an episode where his ne'er-do-well son comes to work with him. Colin Quinn plays
Cully,
his son.
My boy.
His son, Cully, and the relationship, the father-son relationship between those two who don't really see eye to eye on anything, it's one of the best Larry Sanders episodes of all time. So very, very sad news about Rip Torn. I don't know how old he was.
88.
88 years
yes.
old. Yeah.
He was married three times to Anne Wedgeworth from 1955 to 1961. Then Geraldine Page.
The actress Geraldine Page. I didn't know that.
From 1963 until her death in 87. And yeah, I had read somewhere that they had separated in like 1986.
Yeah.
And she had a stroke or something,
yeah,
but they technically were still married until she died in 87, so 24 years.
Yeah.
And to Amy Wright from 1989 until his death, he's survived by Wright, his five children, his sister, and four grandchildren. I don't know the cause of death. I know that we've heard this morning, Dean reported that his family was surrounding yeah him and he died peacefully.
Yeah, good.
But I haven't found out why. I mean, again, 88, I don't know. I know you want to live to 100. I'm hoping to make it to 60. But 88 doesn't seem old enough
no,
to me.
No, we've said this
without
before.
Without an illness.
As you get older, that number keeps fluctuating. You know, there was a time where you go, well, 88, that guy was around for a long time. I get it. But then as our numbers go up, you go, well, that's not nearly enough time.
No, and some other sad news that I told you this morning.
I didn't know this was going on. This is very upsetting to me.
Julie
Nickerson.
Denise
Nickerson, I apologize, right.
One of your favorite movies, I think it's based on you.
Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
She played the role of
Violet Beauregard.
It's like we're playing charades. She is not doing very well.
No.
I can't find the story. Is it Denise Rickerson? Now I don't know what her name is.
I think it is.
They had taken her off of life support.
Ah, that's awful news. I've interviewed her twice. Once with you over the phone. I don't know if you remember.
I thought we talked to her.
Yeah, we talked to her a couple of years ago over the phone. There was a time a few years ago where they did, they had all the survive, all five of the kids from Willy Wonka were all in town. It was the anniversary of the movie and they were showing it and then the kids were going to speak afterwards. And we got four out of the five of them up. You were not at GN yet. It was just me working alone. So it is, that and the Godfather movies are my favorite movies of all time. Willy Wonka and the Godfather 1 and Godfather 2. So they put it on me to interview them. I had an hour with them.
Oh, nice.
They were fantastic. You know, the only one that was not here was Augustus Gloop, the kid who played Augustus Gloop because his plane from Germany was detained for some reason. But the other four kids were up here, and they were just, it was surrealistic to talk to them. She was really nice. They were all really nice.
Well, Denise Nickerson, 62, who played Violet Beauregard in the 71 movie, suffered a stroke last year and attempted to end her life earlier this week. She was taken off life support by her family.
That's rough news.
So, sad news indeed.
Very
and
sad.
I'm sure we'll have an update on that.
Yeah.